Well, good afternoon. My name is Phil Andrus. I'm hosting today Attention Please, which appears to have a varying theme song. Last week it was in honor of Memorial Day. This week it's in honor of foster parenting. And the folks that I'm having on the show with me today, and I'm going to get them up on Zoom here in just a moment so I can properly, come on, Zoom, here you go, properly introduce them. The subject, as I said, is foster parenting. I have with me two foster parents, Ari and B.G. Patterson. And then we have with Olympic Angels, Morgan Hanna. So the topic will be, as I said, foster parents. We're going to have maybe even a couple of foster children say a word or two. We hope that they will join the conversation. Ari, welcome. Try that again, Ari. I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, and good to hear you as well. BG, the same.
Howdy.
Are you going to be in the background? You don't dare be in the background. I will not allow that, BG. And hello, Morgan Hanna.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having us.
Hi. So, Morgan, I know from one thing or another, and BG and Ari, I know from Farms Reach Cafe. Farms Reach Cafe is a supporter of KPTZ, and I am a frequent supporter of Farms Reach Cafe. It being in my community of Port Townsend, good heavens, that cannot be true of Shimmickum. So let's begin. We're going to have actually a rather serious conversation here, even though sometimes I kid around a little bit. Subject is foster parenting and foster parents and foster children. Maybe this will be an obvious question, but I think that it needs to be asked. What is a foster child, and why are there foster children? Why must there be, under present circumstances in our society at least, foster children? And this question is up for grabs. Morgan can take it. Ari or BG can take it. But if nobody takes it, I'm going to appoint someone.
I'll take it.
Okay, that's Morgan.
Foster care, it is when the state steps in and becomes the legal parent for a child. And it typically happens because of abuse or neglect, or because there's a parental condition that makes it unsafe for the child to stay with the biological parent. And so foster care can look a lot of different ways, but it's when the state steps in. So children that are in foster care, their legal parent is actually the state of Washington. And then they have a guardian that's appointed to take care of them while the parent is working on whatever the conditions were that led the child to be removed from the family in the first place.
That sounds like a difficult, emotionally and probably logistically difficult process.
Very, very.
How is it initiated?
Ari, would you talk a little bit about, in the cases that you've seen, how it was initiated?
I think we've seen most cases, unfortunately, are started out by what we call PCED, which is a police custody. Unfortunately, the police have to get involved to go and take, this is a worse word to use, but possession of the child. And then at that point, we are given a call or whomever has an open bed that is suitable for the age and the needs of the child. And we get a call and they say, can you take this child for, the joke is they always say it's for a weekend. I don't think that we've ever truly had a child for just a weekend. And so then we say yes or no, we're capable or not. And they move on down the list, calling other suitable homes as well. I know that in all cases, they do try to place with family first. In a lot of cases, that's not possible. And so that's where we come in to be a placement.
Yeah, and some of the times when you're called, Ari, they're looking for those relatives, right? Like the child's been taken into protective custody, and then you're kind of the temporary safe place while they're looking for who in that child's network can provide care for that kid. And so they always look for relatives or people that are like relatives in the child's life. And that can sometimes be found and sometimes cannot be found.
And legally, this is a pretty sensitive. I was going to say, legally, this is a very sensitive matter. I remember from years ago when I worked for the public defender, it was quite touchy. And I think it remains touchy from what I read about new legislation. So taking a child out of the home requires pretty dire circumstances. And sometimes is not easily achieved. They are not easily achieved. Anyway, Ari, you're going to say.
I was just going to say that, you know, Morgan touched on it, that they not only look for family, they look for what is called a suitable other. It could be a family friend that can pass a background check. We've seen potential suitable others as in a teacher or a tutor or sports coaches or principals of schools. So a lot of times those people can step in as well because they already have a relationship with the children.
That's really important. I think if you ever know of a child that goes into foster care, there's kind of this idea that, well, I'm not a licensed foster parent, so I couldn't provide a home for that child. But they're wanting to keep the child as connected to their people as possible through the process. They're not looking to remove children entirely from their networks. They're really looking for people that know this child, love this child, and could provide a safe place for this kid. So when Ari is going to be as a placement for a child she doesn't know, it's typically either a short-term situation while they're looking for that person, or it's because no person like that's been able to be identified.
Which has happened, from what I understand, quite a number of times, in fact. Ari, do you know about how many times that has happened? How many times you have been called?
I don't know how many times I've been called. We've certainly been called a lot more times than we've accepted placement. We have to decide based on the dynamics of the current family that we have, whether or not it would be a good fit. We are also called outside of our license, which is always a tough call because you want to say yes every time. So the number of calls, I couldn't tell you, probably hundreds. But the actual amount of children we've had placed in our home, whether it be a respite stay and or long term, has been 19, I think was the last number that I calculated in under 2 years.
In under 2 years, I know enough of the two of you to know that with the restaurant and with other interests like fly fishing, for example, that you're pretty busy people. And yes. I was actually quite surprised given that, and I don't know, maybe just given what I thought I knew of you, was quite surprised when I learned that you were taking foster children, and then even more so when I learned how important it had become to you. What prompted you to do this? What in your background, perhaps, in your own upbringing, or whatever it might have been, that led you to want to be foster parents, and then to the rest of it all that we'll talk about in a while?
There's a lot of avenues to that question. I could probably talk about it all day. The major points, I think, were Rajan Mintz, who runs Foster Supports of Jefferson County, kept hanging flyers in our restaurant over and over and over. And she's one of our dear friends and also customers for the last several years, just like you, Phil. And one day I kind of asked her about it, and she said, well, if you're ever interested, call me up. And BG and I got married, found out, unfortunately, we can't have our own kids. And we thought, well, let's give this a shot. Maybe this is how we can build our family slowly but surely over time. I mean, I can also touch on the fact that it's never a safe proof measure of building your family, but it certainly can. We can talk more about that later. But so there was that. I was also a foster child. I was adopted at 10. So I think when we really started talking about it, I started thinking about, you know, I've walked in their shoes. I've been there. I've been that scared little kid. And what if we could be just a really soft landing place for these kids? Because we know, or I know personally what it feels like.
Can you talk to us a bit about how it does feel as a 10-year-old to be taken from your family and put with people that you've never seen before?
Foster care is traumatizing. Foster care is not fluffy. I think you and I are friends on Facebook, and you see a lot of me talking about the hard stuff sometimes, and also a lot of the good stuff, but there's a lot of hard stuff. It's scary. I mean, if you can just imagine being a child in a place where you think it's normal with your family and these strangers coming in and removing you from the only home and normalcy that you've had your entire life, whether or not it's harmful to you in some way. That's what you know. And being taken, especially by police, that's, you know, you learn that the police are there to help you. And then all of a sudden they're taking you from your family. That's hard. So foster care in itself is traumatizing. They say that just removing a child from their family can actually make a child regress by 6 months or more. And every time that child is moved, you regress another 6 months. So, you know, these kids come and they're sad and they don't get it. They don't understand because it's not their job to understand what's going on. It's you know, the adults in their life, unfortunately. So yeah, it is scary. And then you just have to move into the stranger's home you've never met before. I mean, there's been certain times we've had to go to the department to pick up the child. They don't have transportation sometimes. And just walking in that room and having to introduce yourself to these kids that have never met you, and to, how do you promise them that you're a safe place to be? It's hard.
Were you in foster care from age 10 until adulthood?
No, I was adopted at 10. I was placed in foster care several times as a child. I was removed from my home probably at least a dozen times. looking back as an adult, that was the best decision. But it was always scary. It was super scary. I mean, we've stayed in group. I have two sisters, so we would always, all three of us would be removed. And it was usually in the middle of the night. And we'd, more often than not, we lived right outside Detroit. We'd have to go to group homes until they could find a home that could place all of us. We didn't always get placed together, which was another driving force for BG and I. We had room in our home to place siblings. So we try to say yes to siblings because they usually get separated. So that's a side note.
And hard for the kids for sure, because there's one more step removed from what they're used to.
Yeah.
What do you do? I can see, well, you're right about Facebook. I do follow you on Facebook. I do admire you on Facebook. I think I've called you an angel on Facebook. I've said all kinds of wonderful things because they all were deserved. So you must be good at this. How do you make that scared kidlet at least feel somewhat comfortable with you? Not just at the first meeting, but for the first several days, if it's someone who will stay with you for that long.
It's really case by case. It's all about the kids. We've had kids who right away, they just kind of walked into our house and they're like, okay, this is where we're at. We've had kids that, you know, struggle from the minute that we meet them of being sad and missing their parents. We always offer them to write letters to their parents because we're never sure when they're going to get to see them. The state law, I think, says that the children are required to see their parents within the first 72 hours. I don't know that I've seen that successfully happen. And part of the reason for that is usually resources. The state does not have the resources to make that happen, even though it's their law. We have a lot of resources that hold us up. The Olympic Angels, they come in clutch every single time. They do meal trains just to help support us and get this child settled, because the last thing we want to worry about is what the heck we're going to make for dinner. And usually I think one of the first things that we help that helps get them comfortable is meeting the other kids. Usually we have other kids in the home that helps a lot. They usually do a kid tour of like, this is our room and you're going to stay here. And we have multiple sheet sets they can choose from just to give them a sense of control that they got to choose something, you know. We also have, usually kids come with no clothes. So we have the clothing closet with Jefferson County Foster Supports. We call them, we say, we've got a size 6 girl or size 12 boy. Can you bring clothes? They're there that night. They bring a whole bag of clothes for them to choose from.
You know, Ari, I think I'm going to have to interrupt you. I realize we needed an hour for this conversation. I'm looking at my clock, and I see 5 minutes remaining. So quick answer this question, if you could, please. Describe your family as it is today.
Right now, it's me and BG and our daughter, who's 4.5 months. And then we have two placements, age 3 and age 11.
And your daughter who's...
And you.
And your daughter who's 4.5 months old, you've adopted her, I believe.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Okay, I'll keep it short. One of my very best friends, who I hadn't heard from in many years, she had taken a lot of tumbles in life, and she found out she was pregnant. She knew that we couldn't have our own. She called us and said, hey, I can't do this. Will you guys take this baby? And of course we said yes. So it was private from the minute she was born. She was ours. We were there at the hospital, brought her home. There's a lot more to it, but that's about it.
I know that it was a very emotional experience for you because, again, you shared some of that on Facebook.
Yes.
So, and the two placements, foster children, how long have they been with you and how long do you think they will be with you?
Our three-year-old has been with us for just over 2 years. I can't say very much, but I think that she will be with us for a lot longer. Our 11-year-old has been with us since October, and we're hoping that he gets to go home soon. Not because we don't care, but we're excited that that might be a possibility.
And one of the delights about your Facebook entries is the cute four-year-old and that blonde curly hair. Morgan Hanna, I think that we should ask you about Olympic Angels. What support services have you provided for Ari and BG, and what might you be able to provide for others as well? And mind you, you have about 2.5 minutes to answer that question.
Yes. We want to make sure that every family who's fostering has the opportunity to have a love box. And a love box is a group of anywhere from like 6 to 12 people that show up consistently for the family. So they'll walk alongside the family for a minimum of a year, and they provide all kinds of things the family might need, including financial assistance in the form of like, let me help you pay for that. Let me bring the groceries. To a lot of emotional support. And then we want to make sure every kid above the age of 12 has a one-on-one mentor that will follow them regardless of where they go so that they can travel back home with them, because the function of foster care is to return children home. So we want children to have consistent adults for them regardless of where they're living. So the bottom line I want you to know is that Olympic Angels wants every family or every relative that's fostering to reach out to us for either a love box or a mentorship.
And if someone is considering, one of our listeners or maybe a multitude of our listeners are considering being foster parents, would they start by talking with you?
I would love that. Yes, I would love that. I would love to put anyone who's considering fostering on a love box, like to be mentored by someone like Ari, where they can learn about fostering before they're actually doing it. I think that's how we'll build sustainable foster homes that are really knowledgeable about what kids need. So yes, if anyone's interested in fostering, they can always reach out to me, and then I can always hook them up with Ari or anybody else that's fostering to talk to. So they can learn more.
But better to go through you, maybe even better than to go through the state of Washington, because you're in our community and, frankly, you're not an agency. You're not bureaucratic.
Yes, that's right. And I think, you know, the important thing is we want to build community around foster care, and everyone has a part to play in that. And so someone who might be led to thinking fostering is their role might find they actually have a different role. So yes, we would love to have that conversation locally, because I think there's lots of ways to plug in beyond being, you know, what Ari and BG are doing is so necessary. It's so important. And it's also very particular to what they're able to provide. It's extraordinary. There's not many people that can do what they're doing.
OlympicAngels.org or .com?
Yes, or org. Thank you.
OlympicAngels.org, Olympic Angels being one word. Thank you very much, Morgan Hanna. Ari, you have 15 seconds for the last word.
We need more homes. So if you are considering it, reach out to Morgan. We're very limited on homes in our entire county. So,
yes.
And BG, somehow I let you off the hook. I will not let this happen the next time. I want to thank you all, Morgan Hanna of Olympic Angels, two foster parent champions, Ari and BG Patterson. Thank you very much for joining me on Attention, Please. I'm Phil Andrus, and I have to say goodbye to you all.
We appreciate you, Phil. Thank you.
Bye-bye.